Can I see the eclipse now?
Oh, I did the different phases.
Did you do this yourself?
No, I educated people at the nail salon.
Which I love the like explanation process. So what you're gonna do is depict a celestial event.
No, I had to like show them pictures and stuff. Yeah.
This is Kasia Patel. She writes about science and the environment for The Post. And recently, that has meant writing a lot about the total solar eclipse, this magical event that is happening on Monday, April 8th.
Personally, I find it very exciting, and I do stand-up comedy on the side. And my specialty, I guess, is science-themed comedy. Mm-hmm. So I actually did a little eclipse comedy tour.
What?
Yeah, we went
to... This is like the nerdiest stand-up that I've ever heard of in my life.
Oh, it's special for sure.
And I get it, right? Because like to a normal, non-sciencey person, like it's not... Like you have to want to think it's cool, right? It's like going to an EDM concert or scooting to work or coming to a science comedy night. You have to want to think it's cool, because if you think about it, you can make anything sound not cool, right? Like, oh, the total solar eclipse is just like a dark spot in the sky. Oh, Titanic, that's just a really long work safety video.
Oh, well done. A lot of respect to you and that crowd for going there. So I'm going to be traveling to Texas, hopefully, to see the eclipse. So I'm not the person that you need to convince. But when you've been trying to tell people, like, this is something that you really need to get excited about and you should try to make this happen in your life, like going to see a total solar eclipse, what have you found is the most effective sell?
What I think is the most effective sell is telling people that we won't have another one of them in the U.S. until 2044.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers, and it's Thursday, April 4th. Today, we are covering everything that you need to know about the total solar eclipse. Whether you're already psyched about it and traveling to be in the path of totality like I am, or if this is the first time that you're hearing about it, we're going to let you in on why this is so cool to science nerds like me and like Kasia. So the first step in getting psyched about the total solar eclipse is understanding what a total solar eclipse actually is. And it turns out that Kasia has had to explain this a lot, even to her parents, who both witnessed an eclipse when they were kids in India. But like so many of us, they kind of struggle to remember all the sciencey details about it. Kasia actually recorded herself quizzing them about this.
What is it?
It covers the fully the sun for that much time, right?
Yeah, the Earth comes covers the Earth covers the sun. So it okay. The planet Earth comes between the sun. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, the Earth covers the full
Earth
sun.
I don't know. Covers
the sun, yeah. And it gets dark.
The moon covers the sun, right? Because then the moon shadows on Earth.
Okay, whatever. I have to, when you write the article, I'll read about it.
Okay, so Kasia, for the uninitiated and for your parents, and I'm sure for a lot of other listeners, can you explain what actually is a total solar eclipse?
Sure, yeah. So a total solar eclipse occurs when the moon is passing between the Earth and the sun. So the moon's in between us. And this one's special because it completely covers the sun's surface. And that's just because it happens to be at the perfect distance. So it creates a good size that it can completely cover the disk. It's only during a total solar eclipse, during totality, that you can actually look up so we can actually see the ring around the sun.
And when is this happening?
This is happening on Monday, April 8th. For the entire path of totality, it will begin around Mexico, around, I think, like 2 p.m. Eastern, and then it will finish in the U.S.-Canada area.
So name some of the cities, like the major cities that are along that path.
Yes. So it will start around off the coast of Mexico, around Mazatlan, which I think a lot of people know is a beach town. And then it will be passing through where I will be in the state of Durango. And then it will pass into Texas, kind of around Kerrville, I believe, is the first point of contact. Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, Little Rock, Cleveland, Dayton, Toledo, Akron, and then Buffalo, kind of near the Niagara Falls area. And then we'll be headed to Canada.
So it sounds like there are a lot of places where Americans could theoretically see this eclipse that if they live in the eastern half of the U.S., like, isn't so far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is really special because, you know, 30-some million people are living in the path of totality, and that's not even counting all of the people like me and you who are traveling for it.
And then if you're not in the path of totality, but you're in this space of where I guess there's going to be a partial solar eclipse, what are you going to notice, or is there anything to see in that case?
Yeah, great question. So just because you're not in the path of totality does not mean that you will miss out on all the fun. In fact, all the rest of the states will experience a partial solar eclipse. So that just means the moon won't be completely covering the sun, but you'll kind of see the sun in a crescent shape, which, you know, we don't get to see very often.
So I saw this hot take from Neil deGrasse Tyson, who made the case that solar eclipses actually aren't that big of a deal. And this is on his podcast, Star Talk, which is from, I think it's from October of last year.
First of all, these eclipses happen every couple of years. They're not rare, in spite of what newspapers tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Everybody
they're
likes
not rare.
Yeah.
Okay? People want to think something happens in the sky, and you're special because you're alive to see it. Right. And they'll say, then it won't repeat for another, okay?
Yeah.
And it repeats in a couple of years, right? But those it won't repeat for your location for another 500 years.
Right.
So get in a car.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Right. Yeah, basically.
All right.
What do you make of this?
I mean, he is correct when he says for the probability of it happening over one area, mm-hmm. it's on average like 345 years. But of course, there are exceptions, like in 2017 and 2024 eclipse, Carbondale, Illinois, happens to be in the path, which is like insane. And even the fact that that is there for both times is just so cool to me that that community is so lucky to see that. Like, I mean, sunsets and sunrises happen every single day too. There's a study that showed that that is one of the most awe-inspiring feelings that we can have just by mm-hmm. looking at a sunset and sunrise. So when you have the ability to do this with a total solar eclipse, and also when there's a total solar eclipse and you're in totality, you will see a 360 sunrise around you, sunset around you, rather. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a really cool time to sit and appreciate nature, because how many of us get to do that all at once?
Yeah, yeah. I love that. But I know that you've also been reporting on eclipses and total solar eclipses are the central part of how scientists understand what's going on in space and on Earth. And I would love to hear a little bit more about that, maybe starting with some of the scientific study around what's happening on the sun.
Sure.
that we're understanding a little better.
I'm always surprised when I talk to a solar physicist and they tell me we don't know something. Like, we don't know the size of the sun.
Like, just how big the sun is? I feel like we already know that.
I know, right? But we don't. So
we don't know what size the sun is?
So we do know that the sun bulges out a little bit along its equator. But scientists think that the size of the sun might change depending on what's going on inside. We know that it's round, but we don't really know how round, if that makes sense. There's also this, when during a total solar eclipse, when the moon blocks the sun, you're going to see these wispies coming out of the sun. It's
wispies? Like, this is like hair.
Hair.
Like the sun is hairy.
Yeah. It's the outermost atmosphere, and it's called the corona, which means crown. So we're actually going to be able to study these wispies, which is called solar wind. And when those particles reach Earth, it can have a lot of effect on our technologies, or it can create the northern and southern lights. So they're pretty important for life on Earth. And if we can learn where they come from and how they behave, we can predict a lot of things here on Earth.
That sounds fascinating. So that's stuff that we're going to learn about the sun. And then you said that there's this whole other, like, body of science and research that is about what's happening here on Earth that we are somehow going to understand better during this eclipse.
Yeah, I mean, they're actually sending these large balloons that hold these weather instruments. And we're just going to learn, okay, what is the lag time between when the sun is covered to when we can actually feel that temperature drop in above our heads, and then also to the surface? There's also these things called atmospheric gravity waves, which are like turbulent air waves in our atmosphere that are formed when air is disturbed. So think of it like dropping a pebble in a pond and seeing the ripples, right? Mm-hmm. So these are kind of like the ripples that we see. And this is important because they can be created by mountains, thunderstorms, and eclipses.
Oh, interesting.
The eclipse is the disturbance because it's cooling the atmosphere, so it kind of creates this ripple.
The eclipse is like a gigantic pebble that is going through our atmosphere.
yeah, exactly. And this is important because it distributes energy and momentum through our atmosphere, which can affect our weather. So we can get more data about how these waves affect our weather to use in better forecasts.
Okay, so all of this sounds like helpful, interesting stuff to know, but it's still not things that actually happen on planet Earth. I mean, you're talking about like out in the stratosphere and the southern sphere and like all the
weather is
important. All the atmospheres. No, I agree. Yes. If it helps us predict the weather, I am on board for that. But what about here on the ground, like things that are happening directly around us that will also be affected by the eclipse?
Yeah, I mean, number one that we're going to notice are people, living things, animals, plants, all the things around us. And there's a lot of projects happening where people, eclipse observers and scientists, they'll be recording the sounds around them to see how the birds are changing. In previous eclipses, they have recorded that crickets will start chirping more during this, you know, just few minutes of darkness because they get a little confused about...
They think it's nighttime.
Yeah, exactly. You might hear like an owl hoot. So the last time there was a total solar eclipse in 2017 in the U.S., a bunch of national parks decided to record the difference in animal sounds before the eclipse and during the eclipse and after the eclipse. And we actually have some of that data, as they would say. This is the sound of the insects doing their normal business, you know, before eclipse really gets going. And it's very subtle, but you can hear that it starts going down the more the total solar eclipse occurs. There are eclipse observers who, using apps, will measure how much colder it's getting. You know, on average, people say like 10 degrees Fahrenheit or so. And you will notice it. Like, you will notice that it will get colder.
That quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. After the break, we're going to review some important eclipse safety tips. And what would actually happen if you looked directly at the eclipse before the moment of totality? Spoiler alert, it is not good. We'll be right back. Talking about eclipse observers, I do think that it is an important moment to clarify for people. I mean, we're talking a lot about like what you're going to see in the eclipse and this like beautiful ring around the sun and maybe some like hairy, wavy things that are going to be coming off the sun. But my understanding is that, like, for most of this time, you are very much not supposed to be actually looking at the sun.
Oh, yes.
Give me a refresher on the eye safety, like, protocol here.
Yeah, because it gets confusing, right? Because if people are passing out all these eclipse glasses. So, like I said, a total solar eclipse is the only time when the sun is completely covered that you can look up at the sun with your bare eyes, because you're not actually looking at the sun, right? Like, all the bright light is being blocked. But you need the glasses for any other time.
So, like, even in those, like, last seconds before totality,
exactly.
Like, you still need the glasses.
You still need those glasses. It's just like you can't look up at the sun on any normal day. So just make sure that you have your eclipse glasses or some kind of, if you don't have glasses, hopefully you can find them. Government agencies are, you know, distributing them. There's, like, local partner science museums. Make sure that they are of the grade that you need them. You can also buy them, but just make sure that they are of the standard you need.
And how do you know that?
So it should comply with ISO, International Organization for Standardization, 12312-2. One of my colleagues wrote an article about this too. If you want to test it out, you know, you can kind of hold it up to the light and, like, rotate it. And if you see, like, scratches or anything that's coming through, then you know that this might not be a good one for you.
And what happens if you don't either wear glasses at all or have the right glasses when you look at the sun?
Yeah. Basically, if you look up at the sun, it can fry your retina, and your retina doesn't have pain receptors. So you're not going to know that something's wrong immediately until symptoms start to appear.
And does this actually happen to people? Like, do people actually burn their eyes by looking at the sun?
Yeah, I mean, my colleague wrote an article, and the expert in the article said that probably every optometrist gets a few patients coming in a week or so after the eclipse. They complain of blind spots or blurred vision, distortion, flashes. So this is a thing that happens. So just be very careful.
You do not want to be that person walking into the optometrist's office seven days after the eclipse being like, it was me. I was the dumb person who stared at the sun during this thing, even though everyone told me not to.
We want this to be a life-changing experience in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of life-changing experience, I remember in 2017 when the eclipse happened, and I was not in the path of totality, stupidly, because I was like, I can't possibly take this day off of work. I have no idea what I did during that work day, but I'm sure it was not as important as seeing an eclipse. But I think what really got me was not actually, like, the videos of the moon or the sun or the sky itself, but instead the sounds.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Everyone together in this moment of awe and just the feeling of, like, community. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that, about how the eclipse has been this kind of big moment of community and togetherness in the past and now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the nature's best party. I don't know how else to describe it, because there's so many people flocking together. There's a lot of places that are doing music festivals, you know, in the days ahead, opening baseball games the same day. Like, there's a mayor in this town, Trenton, Ohio, that's doing this mass wedding ceremony where it's just in this big open space. He's going to do it all at once, but you can get married under a total solar eclipse. And to me, that's so cool. So, like, 2017, when I saw the eclipse in Charleston, South Carolina, I don't remember necessarily seeing all the structures of the outer halo or, you know, those things that the scientists are looking for with their fancy instruments. But I do remember bonding with people that you may never see again. It's such a special experience. And to me, that's such a cool way to interact with science.
Kasia, thank you so much for this was lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope everyone has a fantastic eclipse day.
Kasia Patel covers science and the environment for The Post. She writes a column called Hidden Planet, and we'll put a link to that in our show notes. Before we go, one more piece of news about the eclipse. In New York, inmates are suing the state to allow them to watch the total solar eclipse.
For the first time in a century, New York is in the path of totality. And the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision has been planning to lock down prisons during the eclipse. They say it's because of safety concerns. But the plaintiffs, who are in the path of totality, they are arguing that this is a violation of their religious rights. As one of them wrote in a statement, quote, "Watching the eclipse with the people I know here is a way for me to feel closer to God." The court could rule as soon as Friday, and the inmates are hoping to have a verdict before the eclipse. So look out for that news on our site. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Bishop Sand, with help from Alana Gordon. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Maggie Penman. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.